just gone 7 o'clock on your Sunday. A very good evening to you and welcome back to the MK Mental Health Hour with Leah on MKFM, where we dedicate an entire hour on the first Sunday of every month to talk openly and provide a bit of a safe space to discuss a variety of mental health topics, as well as share expert and practical advice. As always, I am joined in the studio by John Manning, who is the founder of local organisation Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. Hello, John, and welcome back to the studio.
Hello, good evening.
Lovely to see you. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, well, thank you.
Good. It's just us in the studio tonight. Often we have kind of an expert in the topic that we're talking about, but you are the expert this evening.
Yep, going to try my best.
So we're going to be talking about something called bananas and donuts, which I have no idea about. It's a concept that you have kind of come up with at Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. But before we get into all of that, John, if people haven't heard about the great work that Arthur Ellis do in the local community, can you give us a bit of an insight?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so we're a not-for-profit and a charity. So we work with local organisations, the NHS, schools, and we enable accessible one-to-one support for mental health issues, well-being issues for anyone from the age of 8 years old. So we have people that come to us through their GP or through their school, through their organisations or directly, who might be experiencing anything. We don't have any thresholds, no barriers to entry, apart from we're not a crisis service. So we see people who are 8 years old in the morning, for example, and then one of our practitioners could be then meeting with a 91-year-old in the evening.
Wow.
So we support anyone of any sort of background.
And you deal with a real mixture of different needs as well, across the mental health spectrum.
Yeah, well, we don't really want to restrict it because a lot of different issues can impact somebody. So we deal with things like anxiety, depression, all the way through to more social issues, like if someone's having financial trouble or if they're on benefits or something like that and they need some level of support, then we can help them.
Fantastic. Great. Well, we are going to be talking about this bananas and donuts concept. We'll get a bit of an overview and start kind of doing a bit of a deep dive into it right after this. So it's the MK Mental Health Hour with Leah on MKFM, as always joined in the studio by John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. Tonight we're talking all about bananas and donuts, which I'm a big fan of both. I eat bananas, I eat donuts, but I don't know if I quite understand it in the context that you're about to tell us.
Metaphorical context.
Metaphorical context. Okay, so tell us a little bit about the bananas and donuts concept, John.
Yeah, well, it's weird.
I like it. I like to kind of do my analogies, anything to do with food. So
yeah,
that's great.
Well, that's what I wanted to do. And it was a real life thing that happened to me in lockdown 2020. There's a particular low cost shop that I shop at.
Right.
I enjoy it. And they always have bakeries at the front. And throughout lockdown, I think with like everyone else, I started to struggle a bit. So I started to get a particular toffee filled yum yum. So I got one of them.
Talking
thinking,
my language, John.
Yeah, I thought I'll treat myself. And then steadily, you never stop at one.
Yeah.
So I got two. And then it ended up a couple of months later, I was having eight at a time, laying on my sofa. They were just in arm's reach, so I didn't have to move. And I was just dangling them into my face.
Yes.
Throughout an evening, and it was great. But I noticed that I felt awful. Everything else was slipping around me in terms of my other behaviours. So I wanted to sort of turn that into a concept that would hopefully be quite relatable for a lot of people. So essentially, our bananas are our good behaviours, our positive behaviours that drive positive things. So, Leah, if you were to introduce a banana, don't change anything else.
Yeah.
Your diet. If you were to introduce a banana into your diet, and for anyone that doesn't like bananas, choose another fruit.
Yes.
We're not banana specific.
Okay.
But if you were to have a banana into your diet, into your daily eating over a couple of weeks, what's going to happen to you over time?
I'm imagining I'm probably a bit healthier.
Yeah.
Banana of the day keeps the doctor away.
Yeah. You're going to get nutrients, minerals, good quality energy. And also, practically, you could do it on the move. You can build it into your day.
True.
You don't have to sit down with a knife and fork and eat a banana. So it can build into the rest of your day. So then that's kind of like these healthy behaviours. If I was to do them every day, or how we're spending our time, if I was to do this every single day for a couple of weeks, am I going to get healthier? And that's kind of the concept around bananas. But
okay,
we'll talk about donuts in a little bit.
Okay, so donuts are on the back burner at
the
moment.
On the back burner, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
I'd love to bring them to the forefront.
Yeah,
but
we'll get to those.
Bananas are the priority.
Okay, so let's start with bananas then. Can you give us a bit of an example of what a banana might be?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's five in your bunch.
So okay, that's good.
The first one is move. So there's move, focus, discover, communicate and help. They're the five bananas. So the first one, if we talk about move, it's exercise, basically. But we don't really like saying exercise because it has connotations of gym, sweating or dripping off your nose. There's loads of people with loads of different variety of accessibility into exercise. But also in terms of our effort level, especially if we're talking about well-being and mental health, people might be motivated in different ways, in different times. So move is essentially, when it comes to our minds, just about 20 minutes of walk in a day. That's what we're kind of talking about here. Nothing too extravagant, but it's the consistency that's important. So Leah, do you know anyone, or have you, what do you generally do for exercise?
I will try, since lockdown especially, I will absolutely try to go for a walk at least every single day.
Oh, nice one. That's good.
So try and get out in the daylight, just get some fresh air. I try and do it on my lunch break here You know, it breaks up the day a little bit. And then I find that the afternoon I don't kind of get that slump, which is good. I do some strength sessions. So I do some weights.
Nice.
I do some open water swimming, which I started doing since lockdown as well. Do a bit of yoga. Try and mix it up. Depending on what I'm kind of feeling in the day, I try and mix it up.
And that's the thing. It's like, I think there is a connotation or like an expectation to, you must be in this class or...
Yeah.
But you can do whatever you want for exercise as long as you're moving. Do you know anyone who has had a break from exercise, like out of their control? So they do something regularly and then it's all of a sudden stops.
Yeah, I would say my husband, Corey, he's actually a personal trainer. So he's kind of on my case with the movement.
It's very important in his life as well.
Very important. Okay. He used to play rugby professionally. So it was, you know, a big part of what he did. And he had a very serious injury, severed his Achilles tendon, not ideal. Yeah. And that led to him kind of being bedbound for about 8 weeks.
Okay.
Which was traumatic, to say the least. It wasn't ideal for him. It was a career-ending injury, and somebody that's used to moving frequently, and that's a big part of his identity, was then pulled away. That was quite difficult.
So at Arthur Ellis, we tie each one of these banana behaviors with some part of our emotional skill set, we call it. So move, we tie with something called emotional regulation. So how in control of our emotions are we? The reason for it is that when we move, we've got an area of our brain called the hippocampus. So if everyone at home tickles the top of their mouth with their tongue, that's the base of your brain. It's not open, obviously there's a roof of your mouth, but the brain fills up a lot of your head.
Right.
And at the base of it, there's a limbic system. So that's our fight, flight and freeze mechanism, if you've heard of that.
Yeah.
And part of that is our hippocampus. So that spits out something called serotonin. And when we move, 20 minutes of walk in a day consistently, it grows that area of our brain. Our heads aren't going to explode or anything like that. It's very small. But that releases serotonin, which is our natural mood stabilizer. So when we have when we stop exercising, we have a break from it, it literally shrinks that area of our brain. So how was Corey to be around?
Horrific, John. He was horrible. Yeah. He won't mind me saying that. He was...
No, Is he exercising at the minute so he's nice and controlled?
He's fine now. I actually say that he's a bit like a dog that needs walking every day.
Yeah,
he's kind of got that mentality.
Are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he was very irritable. Not pleasant to be around, and understandably, you know, I felt really sad for him, really sorry for him, but it was, you know, really, really difficult. And like we were saying, if when it's part of your habit and part of your routine, and to have that kind of taken away, he wasn't so pleasant to be around.
Yeah, I can imagine. And it's a physical change in your brain that you go through. So making sure that we are remaining consistent with it doesn't have to be at the level that Corey is, which is like pro rugby player kind of PT level, but building in a little walk or whatever alternative you might do based on your capabilities, even if someone's so unmotivated they can't get out of their bed, I'm assuming that they're still making it to the toilet or the fridge, do two laps. You know,
just small increments can make a difference.
Yes, start doing that, building move back into our routines. And from the perspective of our brains, what that's going to steadily do is release more serotonin, help us control our moods a little bit more, and over time, help us feel a lot more in control rather than the emotions controlling us.
Brilliant. So very important to move.
Top banana.
Ticked off. Banana. Very good. I love that. Okay. Well, we're going to continue talking about the other bananas as part of our bunch right after this. So this evening on the MK Mental Health Hour, we're joined, as always, in the studio by John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support, talking all about bananas and donuts, which are kind of our healthy habits and maybe not so healthy habits.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So we've
indulgent.
Kind of indulgent,
habits.
Like that. Okay, so we've spoken about the top banana, which is move.
Absolutely.
Let's go into the second banana. What's coming up next?
Absolutely. The next one's focus.
Okay.
So we call it focus, and that is anything that draws our attention to the present moment. So something that we are concentrating on, we forget everything else around us. So that could be a variety of things. So Leah, I'm assuming you've heard of anxiety.
I have.
Yeah. How would you describe it? Would you?
Oh, I don't know. A feeling of being a bit unsettled,
a bit nervous. Yeah.
Thinking about something that I'm worried about.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the definition of it is worry or concern about uncertain future events.
Right.
So how much of our future is uncertain?
All of it.
Yeah. Raw deal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit savage, isn't it?
We just spoke about emotional regulation and move and how that serotonin in our brain gets released and helps stabilize those moods and emotions. So anxiety is an emotion. It's not an issue. It's something that we actually want. It helps us to look after risk and see risk in uncertainty and also try and figure it out. So we start to explore it. So for example, beginning of COVID, I can imagine we all probably watched the news a bit more.
Yes.
Your news channel must have been really high ratings,
high.
People looking for those answers. That's anxiety in society. So it's not an issue. It's fine. But because it's so future led, people can get stuck in the future and really start just thinking about the future all the time. So focus brings us back to the present. It's quite grounding.
Right.
If you've heard that term before. So that is in a practical sense, focus behaviors are things like reading. It could be puzzles. I don't know if you've got anything else that you would suggest that you
puzzle.
Do. You like a puzzle?
Going for a walk, like we were saying,
going
as part of like move, going out and just not taking my phone necessarily,
exactly,
but just
yeah.
looking and smelling and listening to the sounds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's a really good grounding technique which involves all your senses. We actually adapted it for people who had sight loss as well. So all of these things can be adapted really, really friendlily.
I like that as a word.
Yeah, it's made up. So it's a variety of those sorts of things. So reading, arts and crafts would fall into it as well. Cleaning, you know, you're really
it's
scrubbing
true.
Away and you're not really thinking about anything else. And it allows us to have our brain a little bit of a rest. So the synapses, when we're thinking about the future, 100 miles an hour, it all crosses over and gets a bit muddled up like a ball of wool. So if we're able to take some time and concentrate on one thing, it allows our brain to have a break and that wool to level out into a nice clean bit of string.
Right.
So that's kind of an example of this. We tie it with self-awareness. So if you, for example, are in that state where you're running around, really rushing, haven't had time to focus, a lot of us have probably said, I wish I could read more, because mm-hmm. that's one of the things that drops off. You might get into the studio and not remember the journey in.
Yes.
Does that happen?
Yeah, I've had that a few
People
times.
People probably do that on the commute all the time.
It's
autopilot.
A worry, isn't it? Yeah.
Or even, you know, what did you have for dinner last night? And you just can't think of it whatsoever. What we tend to, if we're asked something like that and we can't pinpoint it, we all go off, do some focus stuff, and 3 days later, that answer randomly pops into our minds.
Wow.
And that's everything kind of aligning back up and we're kind of resetting our brains a bit. So that's the power of focus. And also practice helps us to practice being in the present so that we're better at controlling anxiety.
So if somebody kind of feels themselves getting anxious, getting worked up, getting a little bit worried, it's just bring yourself to the present,
to
do
focusing.
Some of those things.
Absolutely.
And then you'll feel like you level out a
yeah.
little bit. And
it won't be easy.
Yeah.
It's something that is a practice. So for example, if I said to you, leave your phone at home and go sit on a park bench for half an hour and don't do anything apart from just watch the world go by. That's going to be challenging
Definitely,
for a lot of
yeah.
people. So it's a practice. And that's why we tend to, with focus, we tend to not involve screens. So like watching TV, it's not a focus activity because it's going to give you notifications. It's going to remind you of the future. It doesn't really allow you to practice being in the present.
Right.
So that's what these behaviors are all about.
And I suppose actually for a lot of people, their different focuses, like what might work for somebody might not work for somebody else. So it's good about just practicing those different things and finding what works for you.
Absolutely. Some people are going to love cleaning.
Yeah.
Some people, that is not something they want to spend an afternoon doing.
No,
and again, it doesn't have to be a long time. You can build up to it just like move. So
Brilliant.
Reading a page an evening or a page at lunchtime, something like that.
Great. So that is focus.
Yep.
We've also done move. What else is in our kind of banana bunch?
The next one's discover. So that's all about learning new things. And it's not necessarily about the process of learning, but it's the process of accomplishment. So have you recently or in the last couple of years done something, or DIY, whatever, where you've had to use YouTube tutorials to figure it out?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You all right to share it?
Gardening. I'm used to in the garden, John. And I was trying to figure out how I should plant things, how I should prune things.
Yeah.
YouTube was my favourite friend.
Okay. Is your garden a barren wasteland?
It's a bit of jungle at the moment.
A jungle?
Yeah.
But things are living?
Things are living. Weeds are living.
Okay.
My flowers that I planted aren't so much.
Okay.
But I'm learning.
You are learning. Absolutely. Well, I think it was to do with Euros or something. Like my tap, I was watching the TV, my tap just turned on. Full blast, in the sink, going everywhere.
Oh no.
And it was a Sunday evening. I was like, that's going to be a hell of a call out charge.
Yeah.
Don't want that. So I learned how to fix it. And this is about 2 years ago, and I'm still really, really proud of myself.
Yeah, there so is a sense you, of achievement,
yeah,
isn't
that
there?
Sense of achievement, and that's what Discover's all about. So if we tie this with motivation, so intrinsic motivation from within, people who have got kids at home, kids haven't necessarily learned intrinsic motivation, which is why you don't wake up in the morning and they're like, we've got breakfast ready for everyone, we're ready to go to school. You need to do that for them in the early years.
Yeah.
But intrinsic motivation is from that accomplishment. Praising, recognizing positive things that have happened, reinforcing that. So when it comes to Discover and that accomplishment, it increases our confidence in ourselves, our self-esteem, but also we talked about anxiety being that worry of uncertain things in the future. The more that we're learning as we go, the less becomes uncertain. So it also ties in with helping us to control things, that uncertainty in our lives.
Clever. Very, very smart.
But nothing too big.
No.
Yeah, small bite-sized things like university doesn't count. Similar to how a marathon wouldn't count for move. It's those small lunchtime walks or whatever, and that's where it teams up with being a banana. So it's something small, bite-sized that you can take along with you in the day.
Brilliant. Okay, well, we're going to continue finding more about the bananas next. So on the MK Mental Health Hour this evening, we're finding out all about the bananas and donuts, the healthy habits and the more indulgent treats or habits that we have with John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. So we found out all about the top banana, which was move. We found out about focus and discover. Let's move on to the fourth banana, John.
Fourth one is communicate.
Communicate, okay.
We probably know people that like to isolate themselves when there's something going on in their lives. I'm a prime example of that. I love to be alone. But from the perspective of how our lives are changing, more technology coming into it and all of those sorts of things, like we're face to face right now, which is lovely.
It's very nice. But
there's a difference between being sat at home and sort of talking to 15 people over text all day and being face to face with people throughout
Definitely.
The day. And coming out of COVID, where everyone's been locked in their homes, people have lived alone, have really struggled, and but some people might have loved it. But it's what impact is that having on us on a long-term basis? So do you know about verbal and non-verbal communication?
I think so. So verbal is when I'm talking it, and non-verbal is gestures, or
yeah exactly. So non-verbal is like body language, eye contact, hand gestures, which I do loads of. Verbal is literally the words that we're saying, so maybe the words that we're typing in a text or a WhatsApp or an email, whatever it might be. So how much of our social skills do you think we're using when we are using our verbal communication, like those texts and stuff? What percentage?
Most of it. I don't know.
What do you reckon? Have a guess.
80%.
Seven. So in a text, yeah, in a text or a WhatsApp or an email or something, you're using about 7% of your skill to convey a message.
Right.
So have you ever received a text or sent a text and then all of a sudden you're in an argument?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been misread.
Done, yeah.
Yeah, or you're having a conversation over WhatsApp and then it's just steadily getting more angry and you don't really understand why.
The exclamation marks become more.
Yeah, emojis change.
Yeah.
So our face-to-face non-verbal communication, building in our body language, eye contact, tone of voice. You know, if I said, are you joking? Or are you joking? It's a very different vibe. So in order to make sure that our communication is having a benefit to our well-being, accessing all of that skill, we need to get face-to-face with people, which is why when people start to isolate themselves, it can be so dangerous.
Right.
It can really diminish our ability to build and maintain relationships around us. So when it comes to communicate, being wary that that might drop off and finding opportunities to communicate, even if it's a walk with a friend, you know, just a phone call, you're accessing tone of voice. a lot more. And I'm sure radio wise, you know, you guys use your tone of voice an awful lot to convey messages.
Definitely. You kind of have to do a bit of gear changes sometimes when you're talking about something that's a little bit more serious, and then you kind of have to
line it up a little bit
when you're talking about the weather and now the sun's out, and you know, you have to change your tone of voice. And so we definitely have that quite a lot on the radio.
So that's communicate, and that's our fourth banana, which is such an important one, and it's one of the ones that is quite obvious when someone's starting to isolate themselves. But finding, again, bite size, something small, not too intimidating, to get somebody out and start communicating again, and then they'll start seeing the benefits.
And like you say, just picking up the phone and having a phone call with somebody. I have a friend who, she always calls. She's not very good at text, but I feel so much closer to her because we speak on the phone, and you end up talking about things that if you were texting, you'd go, oh, I don't need to say that in this. But you know, it's really important.
And it teaches us those skills. So bringing it back to like a skill set or emotional skill set, our social skills, they help us to form relationships, maintain relationships, but also teaches us things like dealing with conflict. Now, as technology's moved on and become a lot more verbal, so social media and all of those sorts of things, I put social in brackets with social media because it's just not. But it helps us to deal with conflict. It helps us to be assertive. So if we want to put our point across, we can use a lot more skill to do that, to discuss quite serious topics. So it's really, really valuable to have those skills, not shy away from them, and get communicating with people.
Absolutely. So that is communicate, our fourth banana. And now on to our final one.
Yeah, the final one's a really nice one.
Which is help, is it?
Help.
Tell us about the help banana.
So that's about us supporting somebody else. So not just an individual, but helping others. The benefits that we get from that is incredible. So our brain it's got some valves in it, not really, but this is kind of how it works. So have you heard of dopamine?
Yes, the happy hormone, is that?
Well, it kind of is. Okay. It makes us feel happy, but if there was a hormone in our bodies that literally did happiness, we'd all be plugged up like the Matrix. It would be sold on eBay. It would be sent out there for a lot of money. So it is like a reward hormone. So it tells us something good is going to happen, which is why it makes us happy. But when we help people, it's a real nice natural release of it. Dopamine's quite an interesting one, because if there's like the dopamine bathtub in your brain, if you imagine it, your brain isn't going to let it to overflow. So the bathtub will expand.
Right.
But when it drains, it won't go smaller, which is why then it's very tied to addiction. We almost need to then do more next time in order to fill our bathtub up as much, or have the same experience. So that's why it's teamed up with things like drugs. You know, people have to up their game every single time in order to get the same level of experience. But when we help somebody, dopamine is released. It gives us a real rewarding feeling. The next one is oxytocin. You come across oxytocin?
I don't know, John. You tell me.
It's been tied with it's love. So people who are pregnant, or couples that are pregnant, or when you might see somebody that you love accomplish something, that like warm, fuzzy feeling.
It's a great feeling.
Yeah, we do workshops on all this stuff with corporates and with schools and different groups. And someone's described it once as the cuddle hormone.
Oh,
it's a lovely way to describe
it. That sounds like the best hormone.
Absolutely, yeah. So if the person that you love walks in the room, you get that warm, fuzzy feeling. If you don't, maybe have a chat with them.
Yeah.
don't do it on WhatsApp. Use all of your skill to have a conversation like that. When we help somebody else do a good deed, whatever it might be, dopamine and oxytocin get released. So it makes us, it gives us a rewarding feeling through the dopamine, and it also gives us that warm, fuzzy feeling that we're doing something really nice. When those valves are open and releasing all that great stuff into our minds, the valve for cortisol begins to shut. I'm sure you're very familiar with cortisol.
Is it stress?
Yeah. You've experienced stress before?
Yeah, I wish I could say nah. not at all, John, but I think we all have, haven't we?
It's not horrendous, but it's similar to what we mentioned about anxiety. It can be helpful, it can be not.
Yeah.
So if someone's not stressed enough, then they're less likely to have a lot to do.
Right.
There's not enough stress for them to really get out of bed and all of that sort of stuff. So stress can be a good motivator, but equally, if it gets too much, it can make someone implode. So by doing good deeds and helping people, now there's a rule with help, and that is to not expect anything in return.
Okay.
So if someone's pottering around the house, you know, it's Sunday evening, maybe someone's washing up. But if you know that they're washing up specifically for something in return, it kind of takes the shine off of it.
Right.
So making sure that we don't expect anything back from the help that we give out there. is really quite important, but it's also one to be really boundaried with. People can help others too much.
And
almost be exploited for it.
Right.
So help is one of those that you really need to balancing make sure act. That you're balancing it. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So that is help. That's all our bananas.
That's our bunch.
I mean, that's a great bunch. You've communicated it, one of your bananas, very, very well. So thank you very much for that, John. We are going to be talking about the donuts part next. So we will dive into the donuts right after this. So on this evening's MK Mental Health Hour, we're talking all about donuts and bananas with John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. So we've run through the five kind of main bananas, mm-hmm. our good bunch. Now we're talking about donuts, which sounds delicious.
Yeah, lovely.
But sounds like it. I love a donut. Mm-hmm. What's your choice? What would you go for if you're going for a donut?
Well, anything that isn't a ring donut, because I just think that it's an empty void.
True.
And I want more donut.
True.
That's my rule.
Jam filled for me, classic.
Oh yeah, I'm a
Can't
custard
beat
fan.
It. I love
custard.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot. It's controversial.
That is controversial.
Love it.
Mm. Okay, so let's talk about the donuts then, because although delicious, sounds like they might be not dangerous, but the unhealthy habits.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the metaphor, essentially. So we've got our bananas, move, focus, discover, communicate and help. They structure our well-being. So unfortunately, like a fancy car, it's not part of the well-being strategy when it comes to science. So those behaviours form our well-being. So well-being is how comfortable, happy and healthy we are. So these having a good balance of these behaviours in our life is going to promote our well-being. Mental health, a lot of times people think that they are closely connected. They have a knock-on effect to each other. So mental health is a state of our well-being, so it's a part of it.
Right.
And it determines how we deal with different situations. So I can imagine, Leah, have you dropped a glass before?
Yes.
Smashed? Went everywhere.
I go through phases where I just... like my
smash
hand,
everything.
Smash everything. By accident, you know, I'm not going on an absolute rampage. But,
no.
You know, when you're just like, how have I just dropped another glass?
Yeah. And if we're having a horrendous week, so everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong, we could smash a glass and it just is the cherry on top. Mm. Like, why does this always happen to me? Of course that's going to happen to me because that's my life. You know, we've probably been in situations like that before. Equally, if we're having a great week, we can smash a glass. Who cares?
Problem.
Yeah, I've probably taken a few from a pub in my day.
Yeah.
I've got loads in the cupboard. Doesn't matter. Just clean it up and get on with our day. So our mental health determines how we deal with those different situations. And we sort of described what ties in with our bananas as our emotional skill set. So regulation with move, self-awareness with focus, motivation with discover, social skills with communicate, and empathy is attached to our last one, help. So if these behaviours start to drop off, we go through maybe a bereavement or something like that. You're not necessarily going to be too focused on going for walks, you know, or maybe you are, which is great, but maybe you start to isolate yourself and communicate drops off. So our bananas can drop off. So what would you do, Leah? Say you've had the world's worst week. Everything's gone wrong. Guests haven't shown up for shows. I don't know what else might go wrong on the radio.
Yeah.
Microphones have burnt down.
Go off air.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Lots of bad stuff. You're going home on a Friday. Friday night, you were definitely intending to go for a walk or something, but you've sacked that off. What do you do instead?
I'm going to get a curry from the local curry house.
Nice.
And I might sit in front of the telly and watch a trashy movie.
Yeah, absolutely. I scroll on
do
social
you?
Media, yeah. And then certainly in winter, scroll. Oh, now it's too dark. I can't go for a walk.
Yeah.
And then I just end up, it just escalates. So one donut turns into two, three, four. Mm-hmm. So we said about anxiety way back in the show. Generally, if someone's assessing whether anxiety is something helpful in someone's life or something that's maybe needs a bit more support, like it's kind of taken over, that period of time, let's say you have donuts in your diet instead of bananas for 3 days. How do you feel after like three donuts?
Probably quite enjoyed them, if I'm honest.
Yeah,
probably quite enjoyed them. 3 days, quite nice.
Yeah.
You know, you get yourself a box.
Yeah.
Nice and soft the first day. They're kind of turning the second day. But the third day, you think, well, I can't waste them. I may as well just scoff them down.
Yeah, there's a local organisation called Old Oh My Cakery.
Oh.
I don't know if you've ever been.
No, I
haven't.
But
they do the best cakes. They're so good.
Lovely.
Those other ones I'm sure are great. But I got two boxes and just steadily ate them over a week or so,
easily,
which was absolutely great. But talking about anxiety, if we go from the healthy emotion through to something that might be a little bit more unhelpful and starts working against us, that period of time is about 6 months.
Right.
So now have a donut every day for 6 months, how do you feel? Yeah, about 180 donuts. So
I mean, I like a donut, but that's a bit too far for me.
So what would you notice start happening, do you reckon?
I'd probably start feeling a bit guilty.
Okay.
Feel a bit lethargic.
Sugar
probably
crashes.
Not feel so great about myself.
Yeah.
Just like body image.
I would balloon.
And, yeah,
right,
same.
Business.
They go right on the hips.
They do.
Yeah, it would... Yeah, probably wouldn't be feeling my freshest.
No. Mm. And like at that point, if we've been engaging in those behaviours for that long, after 6 months, like you said about guilt, would you tell somebody, like, look, over the last 6 months I've had a donut every single day?
No, I think I'd be embarrassed. I think I'd want to hide.
Exactly. It generates that. That's what, you know, when it comes to mental health and stigma, you know, we're kind of encouraging people to wait until they're symptomatic to talk to people.
Right.
But really, if we start having a conversation about, I really can't fit my move in, or I really can't, I've not got enough time to read, and, you know, in those focus activities, if we're having that conversation instead, we might be picking up on these things 6 months earlier before somebody actually gets unwell.
Right.
So looking at donuts, they're not something to feel guilty about. We can indulge in them. It's absolutely fine. But if we recognize that they're starting to take over, building up someone's bananas back in their life is one of the best ways that we can put support out there without being a clinician, you know.
So
we're normal people.
Yeah, exactly. Even just focusing on the bananas parts of it would then instantly start to kind of eliminate the donuts.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a really good, there was a group of men, so, you know, manly men don't talk about this stuff, and there was a group of men who there was about I don't know how many of them there were, 12, and they were all experiencing chronic depression. So that's the point where depression has taken over their life, and it's lifelong,
right,
all day, every day. And there's about 9 clinical causes of depression. 7 of them are supported through lifestyle. Only 2 of them are actual chemical imbalances.
Wow.
So what this group did was they started an allotment, and they went and grew vegetables and grew fruit and all of that sort of stuff. And after years and years of experiencing this chronic depression, they all began to feel it lifting. Mm. And it's just building these things back into somebody's life can have such an impact. And no matter what you do, so Leah, I've got bipolar disorder. I've been diagnosed for about 6 years or so. And since learning this stuff and implementing it and concentrating on it in my life, I have not felt better.
Wow.
And it's, my medication's gone down from 400 milligrams down to 50. And you can really gain control by having a good bunch of bananas around you.
That's
and for
brilliant.
The people around you to support that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, and some really, really great tips. So those are the bananas and donuts that we've run through. We've had so much fantastic information from John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support tonight. We're going to do a very brief kind of run through and overview of all of the kind of top tips that we've learned about right after this. So on this evening's MK Mental Health Hour, we've discussed bananas and donuts with John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. And I have to say, John, we've had you in every single month for the last 6 months or so, and we've referenced bananas and donuts before, and we've kind of spoken about them in a little bit more detail when we had, Rob from the Good Gym MK kind of move and exercise. But to actually talk about the bananas and donuts and really hone in on them has been really, really fascinating. And you've communicated them absolutely beautifully. So thank you so much for giving us your time this evening. Can we do a bit of an overview on some of the kind of top tips that we've run through with bananas and donuts?
I'll try and be as quick as I can.
Thank you.
So when it comes to our bananas, they're all of our healthy behaviours. So if I'm spending time on this over the next couple of weeks, every single day, is it going to make me healthier? That's essentially the metaphor. So if we are spending time walking, which will be our move, if we do focus, which will be like reading, cleaning, gardening, cooking, those sorts of things, discover, having the odd win or accomplishment from learning something new, communicating effectively with our face-to-face non-verbal skills rather than just sitting at home texting people, and then helping others without an expectation of return, that's our well-rounded well-being. That's going to really, really help us. And if we recognize that these things are dropping off for ourselves or someone else, addressing that, building our bananas back up steadily, bit by bit, that's going to be putting us in a really good position where we are looking after our mental health. If they do start to dip, we're probably going to start indulging in more donuts, scrolling on social media, watching streaming services for 8 hours at a time. Yeah. Could be opening a bottle and then finishing it rather than having a glass in a controlled way. So there's a variety of ways in which that displays itself. So really making sure that we've got a good balance of bananas and donuts, not feeling guilty about the donuts, but enjoying them rather than them becoming the overall control in our lives, is going to help us keep on top of not just our well-being, but that knock-on effect to our mental health as well. And it's going to help us deal with different situations we come across really effectively.
Brilliant. Well summarised. Very, very well done. I'm going to give you a round of applause. Well done, you. Well done. And I love the analogy of the bananas and the donuts. I think it's so clever and actually really, really relatable for all of our listeners. So really, really great to run through all of those this evening. And as always, we are going to podcast the bananas and donuts interview. So it's going to be over on our website. If you want to listen back to anything, just head over to mkfm.com. And it's been absolutely fantastic and really fascinating as always, John.
I hope Corey doesn't mind you sharing some stuff.
No, he'll be fine with it. He'll be fine with it. No, this is what it's all about though, isn't it? It's about having this kind of safe space to have this open conversation and talk about these really important things. So thank you as always, John Manning from Arthritis Mental Health Support. If people want to find out more about the great work that you do, how can they do that?
Nice one, Leah. Word on you as well. Thank you.
Yes,
they can head over to our website, which is arthurellismhs.com. And like I said, we work with corporates to provide lots of training and all of these sorts of things, help people to get back in control of their emotions and how they feel. And also we have a one-to-one service. People can go to their doctors in Milton Keynes, and a bit broader. We're trying to take over the country.
You're doing it slowly but surely.
Yeah. Help for anyone of any age needs to be accessible. So if anyone wants to support our mission to do that, please get in touch, whether they're from an organisation or whether they're an individual with some skills that they think we might be able to use.
So just head over to the website. Remind us of what it is again, John.
arthurellismhs.com.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you again next month.
Yes, look forward to it.